The unemployment rate edged down to 9.1% in July, and the economy created 117,000 total new jobs. Hello, this is Bruce Steinberg of www.brucesteinberg.net, reporting on July 2011 U.S. employment trends. The Current Population Survey, or CPS, but commonly known as the Household Survey, reported an unemployment rate that incrementally declined to 9.1% in July. The unemployment rate has experienced little definitive movement since April. That decline, we hasten to call a 0.1% decline a drop, was the result of a workforce that contracted by 193,000, and there were 38,000 fewer employed persons and 156,000 fewer unemployed persons. In plain English, the unemployment rate declined because the total size of the labor force declined more than the shrinking number of unemployed persons. The number of people not in the labor force grew by 374,000. Although this is a mixed bag of information, it's probably not too good when taken into consideration altogether, since the decline in the unemployment rate was more due to the decreasing size of the labor force and more people not in the labor force than more people actually finding jobs. The Survey of Businesses, officially the Current Employment Statistics Program, or CES, but more commonly referred to as the Job Survey or Report, reported the economy grew by 117,000 jobs. And when the decline in government jobs is factored in, private sector jobs grew by 154,000 in July, which was certainly a nice improvement over the past few months. Incidentally, these data for earlier month was revised upward, so the situation wasn't as bad as had been initially reported. The number of jobs in the private goods-producing sector increased by 42,000 in July, which was certainly an improvement over June's measly 16,000 job growth and May's 20,000. Manufacturers added 24,000 in July, which was a little more than double the number they added in June. Essentially, all of that growth was courtesy of durable goods manufacturers that added 23,000 jobs, as non-durable good makers contributed only 1,000 new jobs to the pot. Nothing much happened in the construction sector. Okay, we realize that's not really anything new, with a gain of 8,000 jobs in July, but it did lose 5,000 in June, so July's gain is notable. And jobs in a subsector, non-residential specialty trade contractors, were up by 8,100 in July. Could that be a good omen of things to come? Mining and logging continued to add jobs to the tune of 10,000 in July, the same amount they added to the pile in June as well as in May. The private service-providing sector, which is about five times larger in terms of employment than the goods-producing sector, added 112,000 new jobs in July, which was much better than the 64,000 it added in June and better than the 79,000 jobs added in May. Cash registers were still ringing in the retail trade sector with 25,900 new jobs in July after adding 11,200 in June. The professional and business services sector bounced back with a gain of 34,000 jobs in July, which was an improvement from June's rather weak growth of 4,000 jobs. Computer systems design and related services was still computing away with 6,100 jobs in July after adding 6,800 jobs in June. The education and health services sector added 38,000 jobs in July, with only 1,600 of those jobs added in the educational services subsector, which is highly seasonal. Much of the gain in the healthcare and social assistance portion was in ambulatory healthcare services. It was up 14,100, and that includes home healthcare services, which was up 3,100. Hospital employment was up a similar amount by 14,000 in July. The music was still playing in the leisure and hospitality sector, with arts, entertainment, and recreation jobs up by 13,500 as accommodation and food services expanded, but by only 3,000 jobs in July. The total number of government jobs was down in July by 37,000, which was in line with past month's performance. In July, state governments eliminated the most by issuing 23,000 pink slips, as local governments followed by cutting 16,000 positions, and the federal government going in the opposite direction by adding 2,000 positions. Now that the debt ceiling standoff has been temporarily settled, will business start adding jobs? The argument goes that employers weren't adding jobs because of the possibility of the nation defaulting on its debt obligations. Even if, and that's a big if, employers have been waiting to build up their workforces until Washington settled that issue, it's not going to happen overnight, or even a fortnight, or even several fortnights. We've said it many times before, but the lack of strong employment growth is the confluence of several factors, including, but not limited to, structural changes in the economy, a slow-growing economy. GDP in the first quarter of this year was up only 0.4% and is still weak in the second quarter at only 1.3% growth. At least it is moving in the right direction, and we stand by a previous assertion that the second half of the year will be better than the first. Also, workers, especially those who worked in construction and manufacturing and were fairly highly paid, continue to hold out for those same or similar wages and benefits, so their period of unemployment is extending. Although the jobs they could get today in the service sector may pay lower wages, they continue to wait for the old job to return, which isn't going to happen. And companies are more willing to invest in capital improvements to improve efficiency in order to compete in the global economy than build up their human capital. This has been Bruce Steinberg, and this is just a brief sample of the employment data and analysis we provide. An interactive video version of this report, complete with charts and graphs, can be found at www.brucesteinberg.net.